And so here we are, we're talking about light and darkness. And again, thank the youth and all those who work with the youth, Brother Raymond, I know Sister Tracy. And anybody else who I might have missed who's been helping out. Thank you so much, Brother John, Sister Sochi. I know that Brandy, you all have a heart for the youth. And the youth, we love you all. Because we were youth once as well. Yes. Trust me, we remember what it was like being a youth. Our young adult, it's not the easiest thing to do. But it's our job to train you up in the way that you should go. And so when you're old, you won't depart from it. So that God will always have something to work with in our kids' lives. So, all right, let's see what we have this morning. Take a look, Miss Natalie. Take us to 1 John 1:5-7. And we're going to do a quick review with the light and darkness. Family, so important that we walk in light and not in darkness. So important we don't fool ourselves to think we are in the light. 1 John 1:5. This is the message which you have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. Make sure you underline that God is light. Make a note of that. And then in him is no darkness at all. So nothing dark ever comes from God. It might be the enemy disguising himself as God to make you think that is God, but nothing dark never comes from God. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, that word walk means that we practice, that we park there, that we stay there, then we're lying to ourselves and we're not doing the truth. So you cannot say that you have fellowship with God and you're practicing darkness. It does not work. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So we talked about it, how growing up, it was interesting how we were afraid of the dark. But now as we get older and we understand how the world works, most people now are afraid of the light. Most people are afraid of the light. They do not want the light to be shined on them. I don't know if I shared this last time, but turn with me to John, the book of John, chapter 3. John chapter 3. I know last week we were in Matthew 5, and I believe it was 14, where Jesus told us to let our light shine. He said we're salt and light. Family, we have to remember who we are. When we're out, when we're at school, youth, when you're at school, when you go back to school tomorrow, sorry to remind you of that, but youth, when you go back to school tomorrow, remember that you're salt and that you're light. You're not pepper and darkness, you're salt and light. You are to stand out because you're different. You shouldn't think like your friends think. You shouldn't act like your friends act. Yeah, it might seem like I don't fit in and I'm a little weird, but that's how we feel. And we were youth at one time as well. It's okay to stand out because you represent God. And not everybody represents God. And that's okay because the world needs salt and light. Can you imagine a world without the church? Can you imagine a world with no values and no morals and no limits and no boundaries? Who would want to live in a world like that? As much as the world say they don't like us, they don't realize how much they are blessed because of us and how much they need us. A world with no order, a world of chaos. But we're salt and light. We remind the world that this is not it. And that we're not the masters of our own destiny and we're not the rulers of our own life. God has given us life and we're responsible for that. So salt and light, don't forget who you are. When we're in our jobs, family, don't forget who you are. When we're at the gym, don't forget who you are. Wherever you are, don't forget who you are. Amen. This is what Jesus says in John 3. And we might as well start it. Let's start at verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's talking about his crucifixion. He has to be lifted on that cross to die for our sins. Why? Because verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You found out what the key to life is about. Believing in Jesus Christ. That word believe means to commit, to trust, to depend on everything, surrender, total. That whoso depends, commits, trusts, surrenders their life in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 16, very familiar. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hasn't believed in the name of the only begotten of the Son. So, and it's saying the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Jesus told us that in John 14:6, if I'm not mistaken, that he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. So either you accept that or you reject it. But if you don't, verse 18 is saying you're condemned already. It's not because of God. It's because you didn't take the free gift that he gave. Verse 19, and this is a condemnation, that light has come. Here we go. This is where I was trying to go. That light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's why we're afraid of the light these days, because I want to keep doing what I'm doing. And if the light comes in, it exposes the darkness. Okay, I'll admit it. At one time growing up, we had roaches in our house. I'll admit it. One time we did. Amen. I'll admit it. And I tell you, boy, I would hate to go in the kitchen at night and cut on the light. Because as soon as the light came on, they all just scattered. Oh, my gosh. And I already told you I was a kid that had nightmares and I'd dream about bugs and all that. So I would hate to go into the kitchen. But it was sometimes I had to go. You want to sleep with the light on. So if you go in, they're hiding somewhere. And this is what God is saying right here. You go in there and say, you know, Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, my gosh. People are going to start scattering. Hey, can I talk to you about, let me ask you a question. If you were to die today, do you know where you would spend eternity? Oh, man. Oh, that's way too heavy for me. That's way too light. That light is too bright. I'm trying to stay where I am. I don't want to deal with that question. Verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Underline that. They don't want to talk to you. They don't want to hear from you. They don't want to see you coming. And it's not you that they're rejecting. It's the light of Jesus Christ that's in you. But Christ said, don't worry about it. They rejected me, so they're going to reject you. So don't even worry about it. Just something we have to deal with. It's part of our job description as a Christian. That's why I said, let your light shine, that they might see your good works. Don't hide your light under a bushel. He said you shouldn't be a private eye Christian, undercover or under the covers. Praise the Lord. You shouldn't be secret squirrel, private eye Christian where nobody knows it. Your light should be on a hill, not under a bushel. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Nobody wants to be exposed. That's in darkness. But look, I like verse 21. It says, but he that doeth truth, underline truth, when you're walking in the light, even if you're walking and you're struggling and your heart is open before God. All right? Because that's what it's about, being transparent, because God knows our heart. He knows everything about us. So, God, you know I'm struggling. God, I need some help. But, God, I'm going to walk in your light as I struggle. I'm not going to live in darkness. I'm not going to practice darkness. I love verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest that they are based in God. There's no hidden agenda, no ulterior motive. when you and I go before God and speak, God, you know I'm struggling, God. You know I need some help, but I'm coming to you because I know in you I can overcome this. I'm not trying to hide in darkness and make excuses. I'm saying, God, I'm transparent. So I'm going to the light. So, God, you can see. I'm not trying to hide. No ulterior motive, no hidden agenda. Nothing. It's me and you, God, and I need you more than ever. I'm running to the light, not away from the light. And that's where we all should be at. In the midst of our trials, in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our temptations, we're still running to the light. Because I'm not going to practice darkness. And then look at verse John 8. John 8 and 12. Look what Jesus says. I love this. So we get a little deep, but where's Sister Vinny at? Sister Vinny, we're not going to get complicated, but we're going to get a little deep. Let's say John 8 and 12. If you're there, say amen. Amen. It's up on the screen, say amen.
Amen.
Then Jesus spoke, then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus spoke again and he let him know, I'm the light of the world. Follow me and don't walk in darkness so you can have the light of life, so that you can have salvation through Jesus Christ. But let me tell you what makes this so powerful, because he's saying that when you're in the light, you're not stumbling and bumbling through life. You're not stumbling over every obstacle and temptation and frustration. Because you have the light, you have discernment, you have illumination, you have insight, you can see things coming so you don't trip up on the same thing because you're in the light. That's why you won't walk in darkness. You're not falling down and falling apart because of the darkness. You see it coming and you're able to walk and have that life, and that life which we call the abundant life in Christ. That's why you identify with Christ. That's why you fast and pray each morning and get your instructions from Christ. So you can go about your day walking in the light and you see the darkness coming a mile away. Yes. And you can avoid it and you can sidestep it.
Yes.
Because you're walking in the light.
Amen.
We shouldn't be stumbling through life. We should have a victorious life. We shouldn't be tripping and slipping, and we shouldn't be falling apart and falling down. Not as we're walking in the light. Yes, we have to deal with stuff, but we're not walking like those that are walking in darkness. But then when we put this in context, why did Jesus say this at this particular time? Whew, boy, he was throwing down. This particular time. Why did he say this? Let's take a look. Let's put it in context. And oh, boy, I already said we're going to get deep, but not complicated. They had invited me out to speak at the Smith family last night. And thank you all for showing up. I thought it was really awesome, the ministry of the music, and then the word. And I was, Trace and I, we were driving home, and they invited me to speak. What was I? You know, I'm just coming with the gospel. I don't, Sister Caraway, I don't know how to do it any other way but just tell the truth. I guess that's why I said they invited me, so they know how I preach. I mean, they know what I teach on. That's all I know. We got to live this thing. It's not business as usual. So we got deep, but not complicated, just like this morning. So look at chapter 8 and verse 1, and look at everything that's going down. Jesus went in unto the Mount of Olives. And remember, we're building up to Jesus speaking again, saying he's the light of the world. So this is how it all starts. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning, he came again to church. So he's in church. He's dealing with church folks. And early in the morning, verse 2, and early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him. So he's in a church full of people. And he sat down and he taught them. That's what Jesus did. He taught them. He taught them the scriptures. And in the middle, verse 3, in the middle of his teaching, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the middle of church, in the middle of teaching, Probably was a Sunday morning similar to this. And then here come the religious folks. Don't care about people, don't care about God, just want to disrupt the service and distract from the teaching of God with some man-made foolishness. And remember, in verse 12, is Jesus, he spoke again, saying, man, I'm the light of the world. You see what this darkness will do. You see what this darkness is about. It'll disrupt anytime, anywhere, and it doesn't care about God, and it doesn't care about God's people. It only wants to glorify itself and keep people in the dark. All right. And for those of you who might not know what adultery is, they brought in a woman that was either she was married and sleeping with a man who was married, or either the man was married and she was sleeping with him. Verse 4, and they said unto him, Master, which is teacher, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. I still haven't figured that one out. So she's having sex with a married man, or a married man's having sex with her, and they come in and say, come on, you come into church. Not to get healed, delivered, or set free, so we can make a mockery of you. That's pretty deep. It's not complicated, but it's deep. Look what they say. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? Why were they saying this? Verse 6, they said this testing him that they might have to accuse him. But you know, Jesus, God is too smart for that. He saw the darkness coming. But Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Sometimes you have to ignore foolishness. You have to ignore those critical, condemning spirits, because we've all been saved by the grace of God. They meant no good. They were up to no good. And look, they're quoting scripture. So you have to be careful who you listen to when they're quoting scripture. They knew the word. But God said, with your lips you speak, but your heart is so far from me. Remember, we're talking light and darkness. We can't just give God lip service. We have to make sure that it comes from the heart. Amen. Share with the youth as they were before they ministered that praise and worship is more than music. It's your heart being right with God. Amen. It's your heart being in the right place. These guys, their heart was nowhere near the right place. Okay, now we got to get a little bit deeper, but not complicated, or maybe a little complicated. Because in verse 5, it said, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? All right. Well, let's take a look at what Moses said. So let's look at Leviticus chapter 20. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Verse 20. Oh, Pastor, I know. I know it's getting deep. Happy Youth Sunday. Amen. And youth, we have to teach you about these things because the world is teaching you about all kinds of stuff and telling you that it's okay. Yeah. So youth, listen and listen well. Yeah. You have questions, ask your parents, ask the pastor, you already know. I told the youth because I know this is the what do we call it? The engagement generation that they can text me questions during service. They have a question. It's okay to text pastor right there and I'll answer it. Because if they have questions, we want to answer them in church. Amen. Amen. I told them also they can, you know, if they get a good word, if God is speaking to their heart, go ahead and tweet it. Go ahead and put it out on Facebook. Put the truth out there. I'm cool with that, youth. I know. Get engaged. This is how we do it. All right. So here's Moses in Leviticus. Did I say 20? Did I say verse 10? What'd they say? Holy Spirit, help me. Leviticus 20 and 10. Moses said, and the man that committed adultery with another man's wife. Notice he said the man. Right, right. Even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall be put to death. So we got a problem right there. See, they're quoting half scriptures. They just want to have it their way. And it was a bunch of guys that brought him in, and Jesus, he just stooped down and he started writing in the sand. I'm going to tell you what I think he wrote in the sand a little bit later. But how is it they just bring the woman in? But if they're true to the word, Moses said, the man. He's first. All right, then, so we might as well keep it in context and let you know that God doesn't discriminate against sexual sins. God is not cool with any of them. Verse 11, he says, and the man that lieth with his father's, well, let me make sure, the man that lieth with his father's wife had uncovered his father's nakedness. That's a little weird, but I guess he had to speak on it because it was happening. Both of them should be put to death. Their blood should be upon them. Verse 12, and if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall be surely put to death. They have wrought confusion. It is confusion. Their blood should be put upon them. This is what Moses said. You can't pick and choose which is convenient for you. Verse 13, if a man also lie with mankind, if a man sleeping with a man as he sleeps with a woman, both of them have committed abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood should be upon them. This is what Moses said. You can't pick and choose and say, well, this is one is okay, but this one isn't. Verse 14, if a man take a wife and her mother. That's a cold dude right there. That's a cold dude. That's not the scripture. That's me. That's a cold dude right there. You're going to hang out with your wife, and then you're going to go lay with her mom, too? Moses was breaking it down. Why? Because it's going down today. The Bible is very relevant. Moses said, we ain't doing it. Cut it all out. See, God doesn't pick and choose. God hates one sin like he hates all the sins. Whether it's sexual, whether it's lying, whether it's cheating, God says don't do it. Youth, God says don't do it. Yes, yes. Right. He's reserved it for husband and wife. And it's a beautiful thing. But right here, it's a bunch of confusion because it's out of order. Are we not finished yet? What was it, 14? And if a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire. And in the Hebrew, it was they should be burnt with the anger of God. So they also was metaphorically speaking that God is going to deal with that. So it wasn't literal fire. Some might take it that way, but it said it was the anger of God. You're going to have to. Ooh, you got to deal with an angry God. That's probably worse. Just burn me and don't let me have to deal with the anger of God. Somebody say amen. He says both he and they. Both of them. That there be no wickedness among you. And then verse 15. And if a man lie with the beast, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall slay the beast. We talked about this before. The beast is like, well, I was just out chewing grass. I didn't see this guy sneak up behind me and know what was going on. The beast is like, what'd I do? Got to kill me? I didn't even diss him. Trust me, I didn't come looking for him. He came looking for me. He got the problem. Not the beast like, man, all right, I guess I got to kill me too. I get it. Okay. God don't like it. Okay, I'm gone. In verse 16, and if a woman approach any beast and lie down there until thou shalt kill the woman and the beast, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood should be upon them. Oh, God, help us. I know it is. It is kind of comical, right? But had to write it in the law because it was happening. So here it is. So they want to come talk about the law to Jesus and tell him what the law said. What Moses said. All right. Verse 17, I'll stop right here. And if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, are his mother's daughter and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing. They shall be cut off from the sight of the people, of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear her iniquity or her sins. All right. Now we went through all. Now let's go back to John 8. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I forgot a few. All right. Let's go back to Leviticus, just quickly. Leviticus 20. Remember, family, we can't pick and choose which ones are convenient for us and change God's law because of our own desires. James said that we're drawn away from God because of our own lust, because we want to have things and we want to do things and we want to do what the flesh tells us to. And we can't make laws based upon being drawn away in our own lust. Look at Leviticus, same chapter 20, 22 and 23. You there say amen. You should therefore keep some of my statutes and some of my, excuse me, so I can't pick and choose. You should therefore keep all of my statutes and all of my judgments and do them. And underline keep and do. Those are verbs. Those are actions. Bless you. Why? That the land, so where we live, where I bring you to dwell there, and shall not spew you out, shall not throw you up. If I had time, I'll go to Revelation, where he talks about if you're hot or cold, he's going to throw you. Wish that you were hot or cold, but lukewarm, you can't be in the middle. God said, I'll throw you up. You can't straddle the fence. We'll get there another time. Verse 23, and you shall not walk. Here's that same word that Jesus talks. Walk. You can't walk in darkness. You can't. Verse 23, and you shall not walk in the manners of the nation. You can't. We can't walk like America walks. We have to walk like Christ walks, which I cast out before you, for they committed all of these things, and therefore I abhor them. I detest them. Go down to verse 26. And you shall be holy. You shall be set apart. God separates us. For you shall be holy unto me, for I am the Lord, am holy. Remember, we talked about it last week. People want to say God is love. Yes, he is love, but God is also holy. Remember, you can't just be all love, 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 and no holiness. And you can't be all holy, 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 and no love. You have to have the balance. You know that God loves us, but God holds us to a higher standard. And that's the balance as a Christian we walk in. That we're not like everybody, but we know that God loves us. And that love comes with responsibility. It's not an abusive love where I just do what I want to do at your expense. We don't do what we want to do at God's expense. And he's just supposed to go, okay, well, I know you're struggling. It's okay. It'll be all right. God is saying, no, I'm holy. Be separate. I've chosen you. I've selected you. You're a special treasure. You belong in a special treasure chest. Not just thrown on the floor and thrown around. Look what he says, the rest of verse 26. And you shall be unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. Somebody put a star by that. Add that to the prayer. I'm going to have to add that to the prayer. God has cut us apart from other people so that we can be his. And God wants 100% of you. He doesn't want 85. That's good, but he wants 100. God doesn't want the 10% that you just have. You do 90% of your thing and God, the 10% that's left over. God doesn't want that. He wants 100% of your heart. It's between you and God. And look what God throws in just for good measure. I thought I'd throw it in too. Verse 27. And also, a man also or woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall pee upon them. And so he's talking about, you know, the palm reader, Madam Big Toe. Who knows it? What's it? Knows nothing at all. He's also talking about the horror, H-O-R-R-O-R, the horoscope. What sign are you? See, we don't look to the stars to tell us what to do. We look to the one who created the stars through the power of the Holy Spirit to tell us what to do. A star can't tell me anything. I'm going to ask God who created the stars and who created me. See, because when you're following the stars and you're following the palm reader, Madam Big Toe, you're following, you're walking in darkness. Because God's not in that. And right here, they had enough sense to say, look, when these people come talking that stuff and trying to tell you, let me speak a word on your life and let me tell you, you know what? I'm cool. I'm led by the Holy Spirit. I appreciate that. God's got it covered. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean into your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he shall direct your paths. Psalms 118:8 is better to trust in the Lord than to have confidence in man. Yes. Hey, you know, what's your sign? What's, stop right there. My sign is the cross, the empty tomb of Calvary. Keep stepping. Yeah. I'm weird. I know it. Too deep for that. Too deep. What's your sign of the cross? You know about that? You know about the empty tomb? You ever seen that sign? It's empty. Weird, but we got a little love too. We got the balance of love, the holiness with the love. But I still love you. Yeah. But you're not going to put no sign stuff on me. You're not going to do it. Just what month were you born? Just stop right there. You're trying to take Pastor deep. I'm going to get deep on you. You want to stop right there. Make a note, young folks. Because they throwing all that sign stuff and all. Mm-mm. Be led by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now let's go back. Let's finish this up. Verse 5, John 8 and 5. Did I say that? Amen. Now Moses in the law commanded us. Whew, that's a strong word. And they're not even doing what he said. That's why, family, we got to study the scriptures to see if those things are so or not. That such should be stoned, but what do you say? Not that they cared about this lady or the man or the issues. What led to them getting to that point? Let's deal with the root of the matter. That's what God wants to deal with. Why is she acting like that? What's how can we get her help? How can we get her saved? How can we get her delivered that she's actually walking? Or why is he doing that? What's going on in his life that he thinks he has to step out on his wife? What's going on in her life that she thinks she has to step out on her husband? Let's get to the root. Now let's just the word and stone them. This they said, testing him that they might have to accuse. And accuse means accuse is in a Greek. It was a name by the rabbis that they gave to Satan. So these guys were acting like Satan because they're accusing. That's all Satan does is two things. He tempts his two weapons. He's going to tempt you, trying to get you caught up, and then he's going to accuse you. Look at you. If you was really that saved, you going to church, but you know what you did last night. That's all he does. That's how he talks. Those is two weapons. He's like a lion with no teeth. And a lion lying at that with no teeth. And this is how he operates. He always tempts you. And then he says, since you've thought about it, you should do it. But see, that's his tempting and accusations. And those of us that have been there, they go, oh, go ahead and do it. Nobody's going to find out. And then you do it. As soon as you do it, he says, oh, man, as soon as they look at you, they're going to know what you did. He's a liar. That's all he does is tempt and accuse. And here they are accusing her. And they gave the word in Greek. It's the devil given by the rabbis. Accusation, because that's what he does. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of ignoring. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, okay. All right, let's break this down. He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And then he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And this is what I believe he wrote. I believe each man that was there, he drew a line to them. And he went through the law of Moses. And each man that was pointing to him and said, you know what? You just slept with your sister. You slept with your wife and her mom. And he had the line going right. You were sleeping with that man. You a man. You slept with that other man. His line right there. And you slept with a beast. You didn't think nobody saw it, but God saw it. And then you slept with her last night. He went down the whole, since we want to talk about the law, let me show you what you just did in the law. And then we get to verse 9. And they which heard it begin, and they which heard it being convicted by their own conscience, when they saw what he wrote in the sand, they went out one by one. Oh, man, how did he know I slept with that animal? Oh, I bet. Man, how did, oh. Being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the oldest, which should have known better, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted himself and saw no one but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned you? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Somebody say amen. Amen. Go and sin no more. And then look at verse 12. Then Jesus spoke again. Man, I'm the light of the world. Ain't nobody gonna mess with me coming here playing this stuff. That's what I came from. He said, I'm the light of the world. He that followed after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. These jokers coming in here playing games and living filthy and raggedy. Ain't gonna try and condemn somebody. No, I'm the light of the world. They're not gonna mess with me like that. Follow me, walk in light and life. And back at verse 11, she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I. Thank God. That's why we read it in John 3, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Sometimes we just think that God has it out for us. Remember, that's the enemy. All he does is accuses and tempts. Tries to get you caught up. He lies to us daily. That's why we have to pray and fast every morning. That's how we have to stay close to God so we can navigate through life without stumbling through the darkness. We can see the darkness before it comes. People having critical spirits and condemning spirits and quoting half scriptures and not wanting to live this thing and don't care about God and don't care about God's people. You got to stay close to God so you can see through that. So you can walk to the light and be the light and let your light shine. So as we finish, so family, as we're finishing this year, as Jesus told the woman, let us go, let's finish 2014 strong. Let us go into 2015 and sin no more. That's where we're going to stop today. So we're going to close out the service. Well, I know one of the youth are going to pray at it. That's you, Bree? All right. As soon as I give the invitation, we'll let you close it out. Thank you so much. But maybe we have someone here and you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ. You never know. Maybe someone's here. You never accepted Christ. Jesus is the light of the world. In this world that's going totally upside down, we thank God for the light. We thank God for the light, and we thank God that he is light, that he's left his his roadmap. I asked the people on yesterday evening, if you believe in God, do you believe that God is intelligent and smart enough? If he created this whole world, is God smart enough? Does he have the capability to leave a clear message on how to reach him? He can create the whole world, but then he can't leave a clear message on how to get close to him and how to reach and how to connect with him. Wow. Majority of people raised their hand and said they believed in God. I didn't take them to have they committed to God, but I asked them if they did believe in God. Do you believe that if he can create this whole world, that he has the capability to leave a message, a clear message, not something that's ambiguous, not a mixed message, but a clear message to show his people that truly love him how to reach him, how to connect with him? Thank you that message is Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and rose on that third day. It's fact, not fiction. God is capable because there's nothing too hard for him. So maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ. Go ahead and elevate your hand. Let today be the day that you accept Jesus Christ into your heart. Or you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life because I've been kind of walking in darkness and trying to play both sides of the fence. I know God doesn't want me to live like that. If you want to rededicate your life, you don't have to wait to the new year. Do it today. If that's you, elevate your hand. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home, and you say, Pastor, I've been coming and I've been hearing the word. I love the love of the people. I love the worship. I love God. I need to be connected to a church. And I'd love to be your pastor. We'd love to be your family. If that's you, elevate your hand. Looking for a church home. Lord, how we thank you. Thank you that your word doesn't return void, Lord, but it accomplished that which you sent it out to do. Thank you for a people that's committed to you and committed to your word. Thank you for people that's committed to love and committed to holiness. Lord, as we continue to train up our youth, God, we pray a special prayer for them as they go back to school tomorrow. Those going back to college, those going back to high school, middle, and elementary. Lord, cover them, keep them. Guard their hearts, Lord, from the enemy that would try and snatch their heart and their affection and turn it toward something or someone and not you. Guard their mind from the poison that's out there, Lord, that would try and confuse them about the truth in Jesus Christ. Guard their bodies, Lord, from abuse, physical, emotional, sexual abuse. Lord, cover our youth, keep them. God, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over our youth. Pray for wisdom for our parents as they're raising their children in this ungodly generation. Give our parents insight and wisdom and knowledge on how to talk to their youth and not at them, to walk with them, to carry them, to lift them, to be there for them. Thank you for this great day, Lord. It's a day you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We love you on today, Lord, and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we close out in prayer, and we didn't do any guests, any first-time guests today, any visitors. And I know is it Wilma? And Wilma was here last week. So let's make sure we greet Wilma on our way out. And she came back again this week. Thank you, Wilma, for being here. If you stand to your feet, Bree is going to close us out. Let's thank God for Bree.